Our text is taken from Luke chapter 19, reading verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In our first message on this passage, we organized our thoughts into an analysis of this passage and made some preliminary observation. We began to open this up, studying the city of Jericho, the trade routes, the great importance of Jericho as a commercial center, all of this then reflecting upon the multitudes and their pilgrimages, the caravans, and especially of Zacchaeus, who was an extremely high and important official for the Roman government. Then we took verse 1, the direction of our Lord, and then in our last message, verses 2 and 3, the description of Zacchaeus. And now verse 4 for our study today, the determination of Zacchaeus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Our development of this study is very simple. We will first open the text, and once the text is open, we have some simple, transparent observations to make upon it. And he ran before. If you have your Greek New Testament or interlinear on your lap, you'll see that this is not a verb in the original language. It is an aorist participle, having run, and having run before. The participle is temporal, it's pointing ahead, and it's giving the force to the main verb, and that is climbing the sycamore tree. Having run ahead or having run before. Zacchaeus made haste to outdistance the great multitude which thronged our Lord as he walked along the road. Our Lord goes completely through Jericho until all of the streets form one road that goes up to Jerusalem. For our Lord to go to Jerusalem, everything has to narrow down to one street. Zacchaeus is small of stature. He cannot see our Lord. He himself is a lonely man. He has no friends. And curiosity drives him to see our Lord, who draws to himself great multitudes. He has to run far enough ahead then to get to the main road that leads out of Jericho. And we are told by ancient historians that during the time of the Herods, Jericho was reached its greatest construction and its greatest popularity. The main road outside was thronged and lined with fig mulberry trees, and these overshadowed the road. So up into this tree would climb Nicodemus. He had to run far enough ahead to know that our Lord was about to pass that way. No doubt this little man was unused to running. He was a high Roman official. Other people ran for Nicodemus, for Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus himself was unused to running. And we envision this man pulling up his robe with both hands and slapping his sandals again and again on the cobblestones, running as fast as he could, out of breath and breathlessly climbing that sycamore tree. He was not used to running. This might have been, and I think even comical, if people had not been focusing on our Lord to see on the outskirts of this crowd, this little man, this important man, this nasty little man, running and running simply out of curiosity to get a glimpse to see what Jesus was like. Having run then ahead, he climbed up into a sycamore tree. The force of the temporal participle pushes ahead to the verb. A graphic description of this man who was overcome by curiosity simply to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. I want to say some things about a sycamore tree. This was a fig mulberry tree. If we study the Old and New Testaments, we will discover that there were two types of trees that were denoted as sycamore trees, and they were diverse. One was a rather large, tall tree that was used for lumber. We have great sycamore trees here in California. They are sort of mottled on their bark, and they are not good either for firewood or for lumber. And they are really heavy. They grow along creeks and rivers. They're beautiful as far as being gnarled and not just straight. They're beautiful as shade trees. They are the subject of much artwork in California history. They're not much good for anything. I've tried to burn them as wood and they stink when they're burned. And they're really a softwood tree and they're very heavy with water. They grow along water courses. There was another type of tree called a sycamore tree in that part of the world. And you see them all over the city in which we live, and they're called mulberry trees. Mulberry trees are found in almost every yard of every house of any age within our town. They're called a fruitless mulberry tree. They come up and they spread out. They're an excellent shade tree. These are called fruitless mulberry trees. We've had one in almost every place where we've ever lived as a shade tree, either in the backyard or the front yard. Twice in my life, I have been where there were mulberry trees that bore fruit. And the fruitless mulberry tree and the mulberry tree that bears fruit looks about the same. The limbs spread out. It's a very easy tree to climb, used for shade. But a tree that bears mulberry fruit seems as though it's hanging heavily with blackberries. They look like a blackberry or an olaliberry. We have plenty of those berries here in our state. And the tree, they grow off the trunk, they grow off the branches, and is just copiously heavy with these berries. The berries look like blackberries, they look like olaliberries, but they don't taste that way. They're very insipid. But this was the food of the poor people. And under the tree, everything is stained dark purple. They not only use these trees for food, the poor people, but they also use them to make a purple dye. So it was up this fig mulberry tree that Zacchaeus climbed. Now, we are acquainted with this from the prophet Amos in the Old Testament. I want to read a passage and open it for you, and we have some idea. If we understand the fig mulberry tree, if we understand the fruit that it produces, eaten only by the poor people, then we understand something about the prophet Amos. Also Amaziah, that is the king of the northern kingdom, the kingdom is now divided, said unto Amos, O thou seer, prophet, a seer of vision, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. This greatly disdains the prophet Amos. Judah had the temple. Judah was the southern kingdom. If you want to make your living as a man of God, eat your bread in Judah, but you're not welcome here. He called Amos a bread prophet, like we have bread or rice Christians. In other words, you're making your living as a prophet. Go down to Judah. They will listen to you there, but we will not listen to you here. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, for he had gone and was sent to the northern kingdom, and this was the shrine to the bull gods, the twin calves at Bethel, a place and center of idolatry. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah. Amaziah calls him a bread prophet, a rice Christian. You're there to make a living by prophesying. You're a man who claims to have visions in order to make a living. Go down to Judah. Leave us alone. We're important here, and we have our gods, and we don't want you. Did everything he could to make him little in the eyes of the people. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. In other words, he didn't come from the schools of the prophets. But I was an herdman, not even a shepherd, but a herdman, cared for sheep and goats. And a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He's the lowest of the low. However much the king disdains him, Amos was lower than that. And the Lord took me. That's emphatic. As I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So we're acquainted of this, and we see, just because we understand the reality of sycamore fruit, how it was used by the lowest of the people, that God raises up this man from the very lowest social strata and makes him a prophet. Much can be learned in our study of the Bible through these background studies. We've seen this in the life of Zacchaeus. The streets of Jericho and the road toward Jerusalem, before it went up into the steep country, some 3,400 feet to Jerusalem, still in the plain of the Jordan River, in the delta above the Dead Sea, very fertile soil. All the streets were lined with fig mulberry trees, including the one road that led out of Jericho. Into one of these trees, which arched over with its long limbs, the roadway climbed Nicodemus, or Zacchaeus. For he was to pass by that way, that is our Lord. Now there is a word in our Greek New Testament that is not fully translated into the English, and that is the word melein, which means about to. For he was about to pass through that way. So he runs ahead, and as soon as possible, he climbs up into this tree and he's up over the roadway to get a glimpse of our Lord. Perhaps little boys are climbing up into the tree also. There are perhaps hundreds, if not thousands, of people thronging the way. They are preparing for the Passover. There are caravans. This was the main intersection, you remember, of the caravan route from Mesopotamia to Damascus south, to Egypt, from the high Moabite plateau to Jerusalem. Every trade route in that whole region went through Jericho and were taxed as they entered Jericho and the land of Judea. It was also the center of balsam trade, and these balsam groves or vineyards, they looked more like vineyards, filled the landscape, and this was the most lucrative trade for the Roman government. And the head of all of the tax people, the great commissioner, was this little man, Zacchaeus. He was not only rich, but as we've said before, we would call him filthy rich. He was a tremendously powerful, wealthy man, and he tried to make up for his little size with becoming great and powerful in other ways. And here he is, pulling up his robe, and he's running for all of his life to get ahead of the multitude, cut around in front of them, and climb this tree, at least to get a glimpse of our Lord. Now, I have only four observations from our text, but by implication and application, I believe they are very pointed evangelistically. The first thing that we note is that Zacchaeus had to leave the crowds in order to see our Lord, and so must we. If we are ever going to be converted, if we are ever going to be saved from the reigning power of sin, we need to leave the crowd. We need to leave our associates. I address myself especially to young people who are extremely sensitive to their friends and to the thinking of their peers. You don't want to be different. Well, you want to be different from what your parents want. That's true. You conform, even in your outlandish way, the haircut, the clothes, the shortness of the pants or the length of the pants, the way they droop, whether or not you wear suspenders. For a while, young people wore all suspenders, but they wore them down. They never put them on. Status symbol, identifying as rebellious teenagers or whatever. We all have our circle of friends, the crowd, and we have to leave the crowd. Something happens in a young man's life. He has his friends. They hunt, they fish, they do whatever young people do. They go out for football games. They play basketball and baseball. And then, where's Sam? Well, he's not here. But he's always here. I mean, he can hit the ball farther than anybody else. Well, something's happened to Sam. Sam got a haircut. Sam began to wash behind his ears. Sam's interested in a young woman. Now he's left his associates. He's in love. And the power of love has changed his life and changed his associates. We expect that. But the same thing is true in salvation. Your friends will hold you back. They don't want you to be different. They'll mock you. Oh, so-and-so's got religion. They'll put an obstacle in your way. They'll talk about you. They will use ridicule. They'll do everything they can to keep you from Christ. Your friends, unless they are decidedly Christian, will never be a means of grace to help you on to God. Zacchaeus had to leave the crowd. He was on his own. It was a personal journey for him. Moved with curiosity, a man without friends, a man who was hated by his countrymen, a man who was not welcome in the synagogue. It was a scandal to enter a publican's home. And here was the great commissioner of all the tax collectors of that entire region. So he had to take it upon himself. Who was Jesus? What exactly was he like? Maybe he could learn something. Maybe he could gather a few friends, too. He knew he didn't have friends. People feared him. He used people, he stole from them, and you only did business with Zacchaeus when you had to. But he was on his own now. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal thing. Your friends will prove an obstacle. They don't want you to get religion. They don't want you to change your vocabulary and your interest. They don't want to see you sitting reading the Bible. They don't want to know that you pray. They're afraid it might be contagious. I went through this myself. I was afraid of the great controversy that was coming in my life when God converted me. Well, you know, I didn't have to worry about it. My friends all left me. And I got new friends and better friends. The people of the congregation that I once disdained became my family, my father and my mother and my brother and my sister. And for the first time in my life, I had people who truly cared about me and people that I truly cared about. Zacchaeus had to leave the crowds to see our Lord, and so must we. The second thing we note is that Zacchaeus had to run to get a vantage point from which to see our Lord. There's a note of urgency in our text concerning the action of Zacchaeus. Our Lord evidently was not stopping. He had gone entirely through Jericho and was now at the furthest outskirts of the city, and he was headed on the pilgrimage road to Jerusalem. If Zacchaeus is ever going to get a glimpse of our Lord, it's now or never. So he runs for all his worth, gets ahead of the crowd, and rapidly struggles up that tree. I think he looked silly, but he didn't care. Perhaps other children were in that tree. And here was this little man, powerful, influential. Now he's running and climbing a tree to see our Lord. It was evidently late in the day. No one in that great city had opened their home to our Lord. He was popular. Not only were there pilgrims there, but many people from Jericho itself. They had not opened their home to our Lord. That was a society that valued hospitality greatly. And this was the only time our Lord would ever invite himself into anyone's house. For the people, it was unthinkable. But our Lord had a saving design upon the family of Zacchaeus. Put yourself in the way of Jesus. Sit under preaching. Read godly literature. Read the scriptures. Read Christian biographies. Set yourself to seek the Lord. And I say that because it's simply believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no long rigmarole or process. Simply believe. But I'm addressing myself to those who have no concern. Right now you have no concern. Right now you can't wait to grow up, get out of the house, get on your own and live sin to the full. Satisfy those urges and those drives. Be with the ungodly. Be away from your parents. Get into college. Get into the workplace. Be your own man or your own woman. That's what you want. Zacchaeus would have never been converted had he been a tall man. But his hindrances drove him to Christ, and he ran. He ran. It became the immediate, most important thing of his life. He ran ahead, and he climbed up into the tree. Do what you can to place yourself in front of our Lord. Sit under preaching. When you come in and you sit down, say, "Oh God, I cannot come to you through Jesus Christ, for I'm not a Christian. I know that. I know that. My parents are believers, but I'm not. But Lord, open my heart. Enable me to believe. Show me the truth of my sin. Save me from myself. Gather to yourself, as it were, the grace of God, as surely as Zacchaeus climbed that tree." The third thing that we note is Zacchaeus's curiosity overcame his modesty and his dignity. Here is an important man. If you wanted to see the Roman governor, if you wanted to see anyone in that power that ruled over Judea, Zacchaeus was the man to see. You hated to do business with him, but he was the man to see. He never ran. People ran for him, both to him and from him. He had enough money to pay for servants, men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He was a wealthy man, tremendously wealthy, tremendously powerful. And where do we find him? Running for his life. Running as fast as he can. He didn't run. He might have an air of indifference. He might be rather arrogant, but he didn't run. This time he was running, probably for the first time in years. His body probably ached for the next week. Not only did he run, but he climbed a tree. Oh, so-and-so has to attend church. Your parents make you attend church. My parents don't. And in your worst moments, you thought to yourself, "Oh, that my parents would not make me attend church." The greatest means of grace in your life is to sit under the ministry of the Word. And someday you may well thank God for this. as you will for their spankings and their discipline. His curiosity overcame his modesty and his dignity. He lost all decorum when he began to run. And when he climbed that tree, he looked pretty comical. Here was one of the most dignified, important men, powerful men in Jericho, and he's shinning up a tree and climbing out on a limb so he can get a glimpse of Jesus as he came by, thronged by hundreds of people. This wasn't a private thing. This was a public demonstration. And he didn't care. And if God's grace lays hold of your heart and mind, you will not care either. What you're asking yourself now is, what will my friends think? Are they going to ridicule me? God's grace lays hold of your heart. You won't care. Your desire to be forgiven of your sins and to be clean in the presence of God will far outweigh all of the ridicule, the fun, the derision of any who might speak against you. Now the fourth and final thing. It's here in the text. It's very evident. I simply want to guide our minds to look at it. Even a tree can become a means of grace. When we think of a means of grace, we usually think of prayer, of Bible reading, of public worship, of preaching as a means of grace. But anything which brings us close to the Lord Jesus can be a means of grace. And this fig mulberry tree, every time you see a yard with a mulberry tree, might you be reminded of this, that even a tree like that can become a means of grace. The tree did not save Zacchaeus, that's true. But it brought him to the attention of our Lord, and through that encounter, he was converted and his life was transformed. Seek out the means of grace that God has ordained. Sitting under preaching, reading the Word of God, praying and setting your heart to seek the Lord until that desire to be forgiven is impressed upon your soul. Read Christian biographies. Read of the great men and women in our history and see how God mightily moved through them. That's true greatness, not the way of the world, but the way of the cross. Anything can become a means of grace. I was walking home one night. I was never very popular. I was usually the fattest kid in school. Wasn't very popular, but I had a few friends. And there were a few young ladies in their teens who were desperate enough to go out with anyone. And I was walking home. I had a mile and a half to walk out of town. Car pulled over. "Bill, you want a ride?" And there were more girls in the car than boys. Ah, what a great opportunity. Doesn't come along very much for a fat kid. So I got in. They were more than willing to hug and other things. And I rode about four blocks. And it was wild in that car. And something told me, get out of this car. Now, I said, let me off at the corner. Why? So I'm going to walk up to see my aunt. She lived a block off the main highway. That car made it 3 miles out, rolled over, and some of them were severely injured. A means of grace. Could have been killed. A means of grace. A thought into the mind and heart. A tract. My father was shooting pool in a bar. Joe's Joint, Lompoc, California, 1948. Joe's Joint's been torn down many, many years ago. I'd like to have a photograph of it for memory's sake, but I can't. Torn down years ago. There he was, 1948. The most wicked man and the meanest looking man in that bar. Big brawny arms, sleeves rolled up, drinking a beer and shooting pool. And I was sitting there in a little stool. Yes, in 1948, little kids could go into a bar. Isn't that strange? And I spent a lot of time there. The bartender knew me. I'd always get a Coke or something. And Dad was there, and a little Salvation Army worker, a little grandma type lady, walked into that bar and looked around. She picked out the meanest looking fella, happened to be leaning against the back wall, walked up to him and handed him a tract entitled, Where will you spend eternity? I saw that. The last time I saw that was probably in the late 50s, early 60s. It had gone through the washing machine about 5 times. My dad tried to throw it away and never could. It haunted him for a year until God saved him. A tract became a means of grace. A woman who just swallowed everything and toughed it out and walked in and never knew the results of that one tract. A means of grace. A tract, an invitation to a church meeting, a remark that I will pray for you, overhearing a conversation between two Christians. There was a Monday morning in Bedford, England. John Bunyan was a tinker. He repaired women's shoes. They had very pointed shoes in those days, and they had a little metal tin funnel that went in there, and they put leather around it. He was mending pots and pans and shoes. On a Monday morning, he stepped up onto the porch in Bedford, England, and these four women were gossiping about the sermon preached by Pastor Gifford the day before, and he overheard it, and he was converted. Even walking up onto a porch and hearing four women gossip, didn't say they liked the message, said they were talking about it, led to his conversion. Anything can be a means of grace. Here, God used a tree. God used a tree. Be encouraged to pass out the tract. Be encouraged to speak a word. Be encouraged to be kind to people when no one else is willing to be kind to them. And God may use that as a means of grace. Here is Nicodemus. The tree did not save him, but it brought him to the attention of our Lord. And he said, Nicodemus, make haste and come down. And when Nicodemus's sandals hit the cobblestone, he was a changed man. We must believe in immediate conversion. That will be, God willing, for our next study. Father, we pray, might we see your word, not simply as words on a page. Might we not read the Bible in a traditional way, but might we come to your word and might we read it for everything that's there. Might we see this tree as a means of grace. Might we see these things in our own lives. Might we run as Zacchaeus did to get a glimpse of Jesus. Might we leave the crowds as Zacchaeus did, that we might seek a personal Savior. Might we leave the influence of our friends. Might we not retreat because of their ridicule or their disdain or how they speak against us or our families because we're made to sit in church. Oh, Lord God, we pray that with young people here and with others, that all the means of grace will bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved from their sins, to be cleansed from their wickedness, and to rejoice in the forgiving grace of God. Might we see these things even in a simple passage of Scripture, and might we rejoice in your loving kindness for Jesus' sake. Amen.